think of missions such as Eliza brought us, even in Kentucky, we think about missions away from us. That was a nice reminder that Eliza brought us actually goes to Henderson as well through the Answer Center, many other ways. So it's always important to keep them in your prayers and keep them in your mind as you're giving. You can give down front to Eliza brought us, to your church, tithes and offerings down front, to the backpack ministry, anything on your heart. You can also give online as well. Good morning again.
Good morning.
We are continuing in Acts. We're in chapter 4. Got chapter 4, verse 32 this morning. And we're going to go all the way through 5, verse 11. 4:32 through 5, verse 11. This is one of these texts today that kind of makes us uncomfortable. We're gonna see God do something that makes us feel uncomfortable. We're gonna see things happening in the church. We're gonna talk about what it means to be a church member, membership. These kinds of things make us uncomfortable. We're gonna see this morning. It's good to be uncomfortable sometimes. It means you are addressing some things in your life, maybe, or those around you. Our children like to feed our dogs whatever they have on their plate. It's whatever they got, no matter what it is. Guess what happens? The next time they sit down, the dogs sit right next to them. They know exactly where to go for their meal. The old normal was the dog eating dog food out of the dog bowl, and the new normal is eat off my children's plates, sometimes when they're not looking. The only way to stop it is to point it out. Hey, you can't let them do that. Say it isn't right. Point to the right way. Otherwise, it's thought of as okay, and it is now the new normal, their new diet. Today we're going to see this as we look at the church together. We're going to pull back the curtains a little bit and look inside. We're going to talk about church membership and what members look like and what they don't look like and what we should be doing to keep things from becoming the new normal. Amen. Two parts this morning, what the church is and what the church is not. Acts 4. Starting in verse 32, let's stand as we read God's word together. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day we have together. We thank you for the opportunity to gather as your family. Be with us now and write our hearts and our minds for what you have for us today in your holy word. Help it guide us along our paths as the days go ahead of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So last week, we looked at our perspective of the world around us and our perspective of God. He's the creator and sustainer and savior of everything, and we are his creation. We also looked at the purpose of prayer, praying with the right perspective and the correct purpose in mind. This purpose is not to get whatever we want like a vending machine, but rather to bring your needs and your concerns and your praises, knowing who God is and what he does is always best. God, here is my will, but let your will be done above all. This week, we'll take a step back from this moment of prayer after being threatened by the religious, the leaders in this area, and we're going to see the internal happenings of the church. Mostly thus far, it's been the miracles and the gospel and bringing people into the church, and now we're going to see a glimpse of inside the church. How close will it be to ours? Let's begin with the good. What the church is. When we're asked something like, what is the church? What is our answer? The building? We know that's not the Christian answer.
Amen.
The church is not the building, rather the people gathered, but the building is important. It provides for the gathering, provides comfort and support and needs. It provides a centralized location from which we can be the church from. The building in our text is the porch they've been under in the temple. It's also their houses and the upper room. These are their comfort structures. So the building is important, but God's people gathered is the church. The gathered church is to carry out God's mission on earth.
Amen.
What is the mission? Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we go and preach and teach and baptize, and he is with us. This is the church. The universal church and the local church. This is what it is supposed to be. What else is it? It's the body of Christ. That's what we're taught in Scripture. The many members of one body. This image goes a long way to revealing how we should be operating.
Amen.
Many parts, one body. You guys at home seeing this online are a part of the body or some other local body if you're just visiting in with us. Maybe for a time this was necessary, but how long will the body be without you? Unless you're gathering in small groups for your online worship while you cannot be here, you're not gathering with the body. But Pastor, I'm still with you online to a degree, if necessary, but husbands and wives in here, you wouldn't move your relationship to online only. Seeing people by video conference, maybe for a time, cross country, around the world, checking in, hey, how are things going? But your relationship wouldn't go very well online only, would it? No shaking the head yes? This is what we're looking at here. Let's see how well and how long that works out for you. There are good reasons to be online. You're homebound. You're vulnerable to this virus. You work every Sunday morning. There are some reasons. I'd like everybody in this place every week. There are reasons to miss, but mostly people away from the body don't have these reasons. How long before you reveal yourself to not be a part of the body? Priorities are revealed in your life, and they reveal who you are, and in our case, whose you are. This once in a while, without commitment or priority, is not the church we see on our pages. Let's see what the church is on our pages today. I want to draw out three descriptions. They were one, they were teaching, and the example of Barnabas. First, they were one. Our text actually says one heart, one soul, having everything in common. What did these descriptors mean? Well, one heart and one soul is simply means that they're all driven by the same thing. In hospitals, it is to save lives. In sporting events, it is to come together to win the games. What is driving and the uniting force in our early church setting? The Holy Spirit. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and His Spirit in your life. This is what unites these people and what drives them forward together. This means that no matter your differences, no matter what separates your lives, everyone is centered on the same thing, Jesus. This is what the church is built around. We looked at this concept a few weeks ago. We called Jesus the cornerstone. The religious elite turned from Him, and the church is driven by Him and to Him. This is what drives churches forward. We all have different backgrounds and different lifestyles and different opinions, and yet we're all saved by the only way to be saved, faith in Jesus, and we're all driven by the same Spirit inside of us. It also says has everything in common. This did not mean they were all living together. We've got thousands on our pages. How about the 30 to 40 in here all living together? How well would that go? Not so well. It didn't mean living together, but it's pretty close. It meant daily gathering for worship and prayer. We can barely come in here once a week. They're gathering daily. It means eating together. It means reaching out together. It means no one is without. We've already seen this in our study in Acts. The simplest version of this was to find the two of something you have and give it to the person who has none. Selling possessions and meeting needs and having no needy among them is what we see in our text. I think we actually do well in this area as a church, but as always, we can do more. Needs, no needs among you includes things like donations and maybe food pantries. It also includes prayer and being there for one another. It includes showing up. Amen. It also means teaching. It mentions teaching here. It was the apostles are doing here. This is what every Christian is called to do. But Pastor, that's your job. That's true. But we also have Sunday school classes. We also meet for Bible studies. We also are supposed to be sharing the truths of the gospel in our life. We all have raised children or are currently raising children. We're supposed to be teaching them in our homes. This all involves teaching, which means every one of us needs to be able to teach this book. How? You read it. You study it. You pray over it. You use guides and lesson plans. You do whatever you can because knowing the Bible is crucial to the Christian surviving this world with their faith intact and not being led astray. Amen. Teaching is important. Our text also gives us an example here. Joseph called Barnabas. Do we know who this is? Not an apostle, but number 13. You remember this? They cast lots to replace Judas. The lots fell to Matthias. It was between Matthias and this man called Barnabas. So number 13 did not stomp off in defeat, but rather he's right in the midst of this local church setting and this growth. This man will be mentioned in Acts 23 times by Luke. He will be traveling with Paul. This name Barnabas, which is not his actual name, but a nickname of sorts, it actually translates to son of exhortation. Our passage says son of encouragement. They call him this because he is a preacher. An encourager to the believer and the unbeliever alike. So he's not an apostle, but he's teaching. He's not chosen to lead here, but he's still spreading God's word. What does he say he did in our text today? He sold a field that he owned and brought the money to the apostles. This is important because it shows how far this early church were willing to go to serve others. It's one thing to bring food and clothing and things like this. It's another when you're selling land to feed others, to reach others. It's also important because it'll serve as a contrast for the bad in the church that we're going to look at in a few moments. Two things to notice about Barnabas. First, no one asked him to sell this land. There's no hint of asking or forcing on our pages. He offers freely. The second thing to note here is that Barnabas gives all the money to the church. We get this from it saying the money. Even if it's not all of it, it's all that he said he was going to give them. Not some or part or what's left over. None of these terms, simply the money, all of it. Not that he needed to, but wanted to. And this will be in direct contrast to Ananias and Sapphira. What should we walk away with from our first section this morning? This descriptions of the church and descriptions of Barnabas here. The church is God's people gathered and not the building, but the building does serve a purpose. Barnabas is our gauge of what the church member should look like in our text. He gives freely, he teaches others, he's gathered with the church. How close is your life to Barnabas, forgetting that he's one of the most prolific missionaries to ever walk the earth, walking alongside Paul? How's your life compared to Barnabas? Are you teaching others in your home or in this place? Are you giving freely to your church and its missions? Are you gathering? I want to focus in on this gathering before we move forward. Gathering as God's people is important, and neglecting this gathering should be a red flag to you and the rest of the body. Amen. Not that you have to always be here. I'm not saying you have to always be here. I want to see you walk through the doors every week. I do. You don't have to always be here, but your pastor of 2 years maybe should at least know your face. I know it's been a weird few years with COVID, and we've been trying to figure it out together as we go, but if you haven't been here at all since I have been here, then you're probably not a member, but just on the roll. Amen. That scares some of us. Amen. I would add the Christmas and Easter only crowd to this list as well. I want to see you more often than just in your Christmas sweater. Outside of those rare instances involving COVID or your job or when things come up, things always come up. Take care of the things. Take care of your health. Outside of these things, you should be here. If you're not here, then you're being shaped more by the world than by your God. Amen. If you're not here, then you're likely drifting away from your Savior. That's what happens. When you're away from things, you drift from them. If not here, maybe, just maybe, he's not your Savior. This sounds harsh, and I think it should sound harsh. Some of us need a wake-up call. What are our priorities? If church, which is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ and the gathering of God's people in worship of their Savior, if church does not make your list, then what are you driven by? Amen. This makes church membership and its roles important. First, we need to be the church for these people who've not been here. Ever since I started this, maybe we were uncomfortable because we have someone in our head that we know is not here. We need to be the church for these people. When someone joins the church, they're professing their belief in Jesus, and their commitment to be involved in the body. But also the church is saying, you are one of us, and we will be there for you. We need to be reaching out. We need to be caring for them and guiding them and lending a helping hand, and we need to be bringing them back into the fold. This is what being the church is every week. We reach out every week, help someone in need. Reach out every week, share the gospel with someone. It might be someone close to you. Every week we reach out and we invite them to the church. It doesn't have to be this place. If you have someone in life that is close to another church in town somewhere else, ask them to get to church. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this has not been easy during our pandemic. We've got this pandemic wrench that we seem to throw into everything these past few years. Being around others and coming to church was a weird box, and we handled it the best we could. With pandemic things aside, being here for business meetings is not enough. Being here for Christmas and Easter only is not enough. It's not that you're earning your salvation, but you are revealing the priorities in your life. You're being a witness to the world that church is not essential to the Christian. This is not okay. What do? We keep reaching out. We keep caring and loving others. We also need to update memberships. This is so we know who is a member. And this is how we know that they are not following Christ the way they should as a member of Christ's body or as of Cache Creek. Think about it. Everyone who claims membership here, I have a roll. I was going through it the last few weeks. There's 90-something names on it. I don't know many, many, many of them. There's no phone numbers, addresses. They've probably moved on, but think about it. Who claims membership here, or to the church as a whole, universal, but here, it's how the world sees us. Through them. Amen. They are the examples of us. If these people are never here, then they're actually showing worldly to the world and not Cache Creek. You're already only here for a few hours a week, 9 to noon today, 165 other hours in the week. If you remove the three, then you are being shaped by the world. It just is. Is this how we want to be seen? Through others that are never here. They are our Christian examples. What are they revealing to the world? It's not how we want to be seen. I'm not saying erase all members who miss a few Sundays. It's not, don't hear that. People online, don't hear that. Come back when you can. I'm missing next Sunday. There are reasons to miss Sundays. Take care of the reasons. You'll get no complaint or argument from me. But at some point, I'm saying at some point, we are, as a church, are accountable for the ones that are never here. What I'm saying is that there's a whole lot of people across this country and in our community that are holding on to those few times they were at church as the reason for their salvation, with no evidence of the Spirit of God in their lives. Amen. We as a church family cannot let former members and others hold on to former membership as their savior. That's what's happening. I used to go there. I know God. They're holding on to membership as their savior while they walk the path to hell. We must reach out and fulfill our end of an agreement. It's not a one-sided thing. We must do our part so they can do theirs. And if we find out they've moved on, likely they've moved on. They're going to other churches. We just haven't been in communication. Or they're not really Spirit-filled. That happens a lot. If church is not necessary in your life, what's driving your life? Then we should take the actions needed to protect the body and to bring the gospel back to the forefront of this person's life. I hear often, well, so-and-so is a member. And I've been here 2 years and I don't know their name and I don't know their face. If it's someone I should be visiting because they cannot be here, then that's one thing. Help me fix it. But if this is not the case, then they're probably not a member of the body of Christ, at least not this one. This leads into our next section today. We're going to look at two people who say they are members, but they are not. What the church is not. Let's turn our attention to Ananias and Sapphira. At first glance, this is a scary story. They seemingly do a good thing, gave to the church, and were punished for it. Struck down by God for not giving all. We're going to see it's not quite that simple. The story is that this couple sold a piece of property. And then they gave part of the proceeds to the church. We found out later when Sapphira enters, after her husband's already dead and being carried off, she enters. We find out they actually gave a portion but said it was all of the money. So, this reveals the real reason for the punishment from God. They lied. They lied to Peter. They lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. This is what is pointed out in our text. Our text says that it was their land to do with what they pleased, so why did they lie about it? When they say, here is all the money to Peter, they lied to him. This is wrong, but if people were struck down for lying to one another, there wouldn't be very many of us here today. Amen. Every time my wife asks me, day to day, how's your neck and your head today? I'm fine. Ooh. Sometimes I'd say, I'm fantastic. It wouldn't go very well for us here. They also lied to God. This is a bigger deal, but still done by many. Why are we lying to God when He sees and knows everything? But many lie to God with seemingly no consequences, and definitely not instant death. How about the Holy Spirit? This is an interesting one. The Holy Spirit is inside of believers, so are we saying they were believers who were struck down? I don't think so. I think our text reveals this to be the case of impersonation and not real belief. Amen. This is why the contrast here, look at Barnabas and what we said he was, and then look at our couple, one driven by the Spirit and the other driven by the experience. Let's do what everyone else is doing. Let's get in on this thing called the church. Let's get in on this thing called salvation. Maybe we can just give them a little money. This is more likely what is happening. So how are they lying to the Holy Spirit? Well, they stand claiming the Spirit. That's what a believer is, Spirit inside of them. They claim the Spirit while working against the Spirit. They say they are ruled by it, while being ruled by their own desires. Let's look at Matthew 12, verse 31. It says, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. Praise God for that.
Amen.
But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
Amen.
It continues, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Speaking against Jesus, forgiven. Praise God for that. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Do we understand this? Why is blaspheming the Spirit an unforgivable sin? It is unforgivable because you need the Spirit to be saved. That's what we're saying. When we say we are saved, Spirit inside of you is the difference.
Amen.
You need the Spirit to be saved and cannot speak against the Spirit if you are saved. If saved and ruled by the Spirit, changed by the Spirit, blaspheming of said Spirit is no longer in you. It cannot happen. Praise God for that. Ananias and Sapphira revealed themselves to be ruled by the world and not by the Spirit, hence the lying and the death. We haven't really talked about the death yet. Seems harsh, doesn't it? We wouldn't want to see instant death for sins around us, would we? We know this is a standard that's not uncommon in the Bible. The Old Testament's full of it. Disobey and struck down. looking through the ark, struck down. Lot's wife looks back at the city, turned to salt. Everyone who enters the inner room, the Holy of Holies in the temple, struck down. Why here in Acts, disobedient to the apostles and to God and His Spirit is a reason. The church is new and growing and full of the Spirit, and these wolves in sheep's clothing try to enter. That's a reason. The fear instilled in everyone after this event is a reason. You think anyone else brought partial in and said it was all? I don't think so. Here it is. The fear is a reason. All these things work together, but there is another. God's will and His purpose is done no matter what. And in this moment, His will was to strike down before they could intervene in His purposes. We don't understand, but we also do not question, because He is God and we are not. Amen. Remember last week, we said the moment we stand up and say that was not right is the moment we're choosing our own opinions and our own perspective above God's, who knows all, sees all, controls all. What should we walk away with here? Well, this married couple tried to impersonate Spirit-filled belief through deceit and lies, and judgment was their punishment. We all see this. We also know that it is still this way today. It may not be instant judgment, but judgment is coming. It may not be instant death, but death is coming. Everyone will die at some point, and then everyone will be judged. Everyone. Amen. The question is, will we be judged by the works of Christ or our own? If it is our own, then the fate of Ananias and Sapphira will be our fate too. The eternal death, eternity in hell, for everyone who's left judged by their own merits. The only way to escape this is to be judged by what Christ did for you. Amen. And the only way to get there is faith in Him, faith in Christ alone for your salvation, for your escape of judgment, and your life reveals it. Amen. This couple revealed their life. We're going to buy our way into the church. What does ours reveal us to be? Look at our lives. Who are we revealed to be? Condemned by God or saved by Jesus, those are the two choices. Condemned by God or saved by Jesus, your life reveals it. Which is it? We're going to close by coming to the Lord's table together. This is one of those things given to the church by God to remind us of the sacrifice for us. To draw the family of God in close around this table as one body. This is another thing you miss out on if you're not here. The body gathered is where this is done. It's also done in accordance with Scripture. Scripture tells us that you should not participate in this church ordinance if something's off in your life. Not that we're perfect, but that we're striving to walk with Jesus. We're striving to fight off the sins in our life. If something's off in your life, some major sin has affected you or distracted you, has you pulled from your Savior, maybe you're not even a believer. Scripture says this means you should wait until you get yourself back on track before partaking in the bread and the cup with the church. Otherwise, all baptized believers in Jesus, striving to follow Him, are welcome to join in freely. No judgment, and the decision is yours. You should have cups in front of you with the bread and the juice. The plastic film is the bread. The whole tab is the juice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you that we have the ability to draw in as your family, to worship your holy name, to study Scripture, your words given to us. Father, we thank you now that we have this opportunity to remember that Jesus was given for us, his body broken for us, tortured, humiliated, suffering immensely for us, so that we can look to him and be saved. Be with us now as we remember this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments we have in our life, these moments we can draw in together and remember your Son. We thank you for his body broken. We thank you for his blood spilled on our behalf. Father, we do not know what that moment was like when you looked upon your Son. We thank you for it. Our lives changed forever because of it. Help us remember this. As we come to your table this morning, we take the bread and now the cup as a reminder to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul continues here. He says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim to the Lord's death till he comes again." Take and drink. As we leave here this morning, I want us to carry a question on our hearts. I know I've spoken some heavy things. Lots of people get upset when we talk about membership and people not being here and things of this nature. We spoke of heavy things this morning. Here's our question. Which are we closer to, Barnabas or Ananias and Sapphira? Are we freely giving and sharing the gospel and teaching others and gathering as the church? Does this describe you? Which one of these things are we leaving out of our lives? Or are you closer to someone that claims salvation and church membership without doing anything church-related? Are you holding on to a moment in your life as your eternal promise without ever revealing it in your life? Members like Barnabas is what keeps the church thriving and moving forward. We have many, many of these members in here. And members like Ananias and Sapphira are what spins a church out of control. Which are we? Those of you online, we thank you for joining us today. It's a privilege to be celebrating what the Lord has done for us with you today. And when the time comes and you're ready to come back, we are happy to have you back in this place. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's what we're told. That's what Paul says. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and the Spirit will move in you, guide you and change you and connect you to the body.
Amen.
If this does not describe you, it can. Repent and believe. Amen. Repent and believe. Bring anything on your heart to your Father as we sing. Maybe it's that person in your life that you know needs to be somewhere and is not there. Maybe it's something going on in your life. Maybe it's the frustrations of the world around us. We all have something. Bring them to your Father in heaven. And let's walk away from this place today in unison, saying, we are going to be the church. Be the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to your table, a reminder of what was done for us, a reminder of our salvation, how it was given to us, a reminder that our lives were changed forever that day we met you. Help us leave this place today as a body of Christ that's been changed, as a church family that is drawn in together, that worships your holy name and leaves this place to reach others for you. We know Jesus is needed by all. We see it every day in the world around us. Help us right our own lives, our own households, and help us reach out into the world. Jesus on our lips. Father, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.